1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 7. I want to hold off on finishing the book of Galatians for one more week. And I want to say some things tonight about tomorrow, which is Thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and asks this question, or asks three questions. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hasn't received it, or has not received it? And that's the Lord's word for us tonight, and all God's people said. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It is truth. Help us to rightly divide it so that it will be good for us and glorifying to you. Speak to us through it tonight. Help us to see you clearer through it, and help us to know how to serve you, how to live for you, how to please you in all that we do and all that we say. We have much to be thankful for. You are a good God, and we pray that our hearts would rejoice and would overflow with thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us, for who you are, and for what you yet have promised to do. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, and it is a day that is set aside supposedly to help us think about all the things we have to be thankful for. But if we're not careful, we make a day that is supposed to bring us to a place of thanksgiving to the Lord, we'll make it a day of self-indulgence, and we'll make it a day of pride. And I don't want us to do that. So we have this verse that we read. Paul writes to the Corinthians. He gives them three things to think about in the form of three questions. There first is a who, and then there is a what, and finally there is a why. So that's a pretty simple outline tonight, right? We can all remember that one. Who, what, and why. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's begin with the who of Thanksgiving. Now, the Corinthians thought that they were a pretty special people. They thought that. They boasted in their own wisdom. They boasted in their leaders. They boasted in their own spirituality. They boasted in their own gifts. They thought that they were quite a bit above average. You might be average, but you're not a Corinthian, because if you were in the Corinthian church, you would have thought that you were above average and that you had that which to boast of. And Paul had already reminded them back in chapter 1, verse 26, of the truth concerning them, that when they were called to faith in Jesus Christ, they weren't so special. You remember, Paul told them, not many of you were wise according to the standards of the world. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were noble. So he's bringing them to a place that they could remember what they were when God had called them. You weren't the wisest. You weren't the most powerful. And you weren't the most noble. Or in other words, God didn't call you to salvation because you were wise, or because you were powerful, or because you were born into nobility. And while they were boasting about whatever they thought was so special about them, God doesn't believe the advertising. And while we're busy trying to distinguish ourselves from others, Paul asks this question: who makes you differ from another? Notice the question is not what makes you different, who makes you different? Who makes the difference between you and a homeless person? Who makes the difference between you tonight and a drunk who has no family to care about him? Did you do that? Did you, with your own effort, achieve the status that you have tonight? Do you have a house, a home, a bed to lay in, and somebody else has a cardboard box underneath an overpass somewhere? Did you do that? That's his question. Because in reality, there is no difference between us and anyone else. In essence, we're all sinners, right? We're all wicked. We're all unclean. We're all God haters. We're all depraved human beings. And all of us, every single one of us, are capable of doing terrible, wicked things. The only difference between you and anyone else is the grace of God. Why are you like you are? Why do you have certain values while others don't? Why do you have integrity while others don't? Why do you hold precious the things of God and come to church on the night before Thanksgiving and some people don't? Is that inherent in you? Is that gained by you through certain training or education? Of course not. The difference between you and anyone else is only by the pleasure of God. He has made you to differ from another. The only difference between you and the worst person on earth is the grace of God. Amen? There's nothing distinguishing in you or me to make God look at us or love us at all. Do you understand that? There's nothing in you that would cause God to love you. There's nothing in you that would cause God to look toward your way. He doesn't love us or cherish us or affirm us because he sees something good in us that sets us apart from the person sitting next to us. In fact, if God were to leave us to ourselves, the truth is we're nothing but dust and worms. Isn't that so? And if on Judgment Day you come into the presence of God confident of your own lovability and your own works, you are likely going to receive the shock of your life that will take eternity to get over. And you'll never get over it because eternity never ends. So what does God owe us? Nothing. Because you're not special. If you're anything, God has made you that way. So do not boast in yourselves. Instead, be thankful to the one who made you to differ. The goodness of tomorrow will only be because God made you differ from another. There is no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. We're all God-made. And let me help you with this. If we could take you with all of your intellect, with all of your skills, and with all of your abilities, and if we could birth you in the middle of some tribe in New Guinea, you'd wind up making mud pies just like they do. Say amen. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So I want you to remember the who. Who is it that makes you different? Who is it? It is God. Therefore, our thanks should be to Him. Not only the who of Thanksgiving, but let me mention the what of Thanksgiving. Because Paul asks a second question. Not only who made you different, when there's essentially no difference among you, God has made the difference in your life. What do you have that you have not received? Of everything that you put value on, of everything that you hold precious, of everything that you think is very valuable to you, name one that is not a gift from the hand of God. Name one that is not a gift of sheer grace. Name one. Your privileges come from the material blessings that you and I enjoy every day in our new life in Christ. Your adoption into His family, your indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the riches of the Christian fellowship that we enjoy, the access to life-transforming truth, and a thousand other things, they are all sheer gifts given to us by God's grace. So the idea that Paul is setting forth is that you have received absolutely nothing because you've earned it. Have you earned anything? No. Have you worked for anything? No. Have you deserved anything? No. No. Everything you have, according to Paul, has been a gift to you by God's grace. And the pride in you and the pride in me will say, wait a minute, I've worked hard for what I have. I've labored hard for what I have. And Paul says, no, you would have done nothing if it had not been for the grace of God. Whatever you have, everything you have received it from someone else. Especially those things that are spiritual. How were you saved? Did you earn your salvation? Did you work for your salvation? Did you merit your salvation? Can anybody earn salvation? The Bible says, by the deeds of the law shall what? No flesh be justified. You're saved by faith, right? Through grace. And that's not of what? Works. It's not of yourself. It is what? A gift of God. What about your talents? What about your abilities? Where'd that come from? Did you deserve it? You didn't deserve to be called by God. That's God's plan. And what? How should we respond to all that? How should I respond to the truth that everything that I have is a gift from God? I should respond with thanksgiving. God has given us all, everything that we have. And He expects us to take care of it, right? Because we're stewards of what God has given to us. So He says to the Corinthians, what do you have that you didn't get from God? The answer, of course, is what? Nothing. You don't have anything. You don't have anything that God didn't give you. And I understand that to mean the good things and the bad things. The things we think are good and the things we think are bad, I think all of those are gifts of God. What do we have that we have not received? And if God has gifted it to us, is it not for our good and for His glory? Are you with me? So when I sit down tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day with my family, I should not forget, as I look around that table, It's all a gift from God. I don't deserve any of it. I have not earned it. I have not made it. Say amen. Every bite of food that I eat, a gift from God. Each one of my children, a gift from God. My wife, a gift from God. My mother, a gift from God. A house, a gift from God. Happiness, a gift from God. Joy, a gift from God. Life itself, a gift from God. Health, a gift from God. A dog, Molly, absolutely a gift from God. The heat, the air conditioning, whatever is needed tomorrow, a gift from God. A couch to lay down on after I eat all that food, a gift from God. Everything that we have is a gift from God. So don't forget tomorrow the who. You're not where you are or who you are by your own doings. You are who you are and where you are by the gift, by the grace of God. And the what of Thanksgiving. What you have, whatever it is, has been given to you by the hand of a gracious God. Amen? Number three, we're almost done. The why of Thanksgiving. Third question. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? You see the why there? If God, if it is true what Paul says, and it is, if God has made you to differ, and if God has given you everything that you have, then there is absolutely no reason to act like it's not true. And we act like it's not true when we boast in ourselves. That's what he's telling the Corinthians. You're acting like people who don't believe that God has made the difference in you and that God has given you everything that you have. You act like in your boasting that you have done this. If all you have is a free gift from God, then you can't boast as if it were not a gift. In other words, Paul is saying here that the grace of God eliminates all human boasting. How can I boast in a gift? You can't boast as though you have created or that you sustain what grace truly creates and sustains. And if you don't grasp how undeserving and incapable you really are, you'll never, ever understand how sweet the grace of God really is. You will miss this Thanksgiving, the greatness of God, because you're too busy boasting about how great you are. Amazing grace is only amazing when you understand that it saves a wretch like you and me. And if you claim credit for anything, you are minimizing God's grace. You are minimizing your sin, and you are robbing God of the glory he rightly deserves. Understand this, God gets credit for every good thing in your life, and you get none. Say amen. You get none. God gets it all. It's like the old song says, my Savior bled and my Sovereign died, and he devoted that sacred head for such a worm as when you come to the realization that everything you have by grace. Everything you have because of the cross. Everything you have because in your unlovingness, you are loved despite your continued unloveliness. Say amen. When you see that, then you will begin to see the magnificence of grace. And you will see that your pride and your boasting begin to shrivel and die as you understand that the glory, the credit, the boast, the praise doesn't belong to you. It belongs entirely to God, who has made you what you are and has given you everything that you have. Nothing will kill boasting like seeing that we actually deserve wrath. We actually deserve the curse of God instead of the love of God. We actually deserve the wrath of God instead of the adoption of God. We actually deserve the curse of God instead of the sanctifying love of God. God has demonstrated his love toward us in what? In the cross of Jesus Christ. Did you deserve that? No. Did you earn that? No. God gave you that. God gave you that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And God has given us a love that is so sure and so true that we can never be plucked from his hand. When you see, and most people don't see that, they think they can do something to earn that. They think they can do something to deserve it. When you see that God has lavished his grace upon grace on us undeserving sinners, when you see that, it puts your ego to rest instead of putting it on the throne. It puts it in the dust. And our hearts give praise and honor to the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. For Paul, everything that he had was a gift of grace. And everything that he accomplished was a work of grace. For me to be your pastor, for me to have a godly wife, godly children, for me to be your friend is a work of grace. And so, is there any boasting I can do? Only in the grace of God can I boast. So my question is this: why has God set it up that way? Why doesn't God let me have a part in it? Why can't I earn something? Why can't I merit something? Give me the opportunity to do a little good, to contribute a little bit. Why has God set it up so that I'm nothing except what he makes me? And if he doesn't make me anything, I'm nothing. If he doesn't make me a child of God, I'm a child of the devil. Why is it that God sets it up so that I can do nothing to earn or get anything, that he gives me everything? Why does God set it up that way? So that he may get all the glory. So that he may get all the praise, so that he may get all the thanksgiving. There, there's no confusion here about who we should be thankful for. Say amen. And be careful not to be so overly thankful for the gifts that you forget who the giver is. God has established the universe in such a way that it magnifies the glory of His all-sufficiency. All things are by His grace, because all things are for His glory. Amen? So, we all have much to be thankful for, don't we? We could stand tonight, each of us, and we could be here for a long time enumerating what we all have to be thankful for. There is no shortage of blessings. There's no shortage of God's goodness. But we should remember the who. And we should remember the what. And we should remember the why. Let's read that text again, just so we have it fresh in our minds as we leave and head toward tomorrow. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Don't act like an atheist tomorrow. Don't act like an agnostic tomorrow. Act like a child of God tomorrow. That you are thankful and grateful for Him, because He is everything to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for all that you do for us. We're thankful for who you are. I am what I am by the grace of God. If you had left me to myself, I would have, God knows where I would have been. God knows what I would be doing. I may not even be alive. So everything that I am is because of you. Everything that I have has been given to me by you. So God, forgive me for the times that I act as if I have earned something, or I have done something, or I have worked for something. I don't have anything that I can take credit for. All praise, all honor, all glory goes to you. So help us make sure that that happens tomorrow. And not just tomorrow, but every day. That you would help us, your people, always be thankful, knowing that everything we have and everything that we are is by the grace of God. For the glory of our great God, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.